But before we dive in, Dr. Clark, you always have some trending thoughts to share. And this particular episode, folks, is incredibly important and enlightening. And you've heard about the microbiome before, but let's tell you what this really is all about.
Great. Yeah, to really put this in perspective, you know, for 2,500 years ago, we have Hippocrates, the father of medicine, saying all diseases begin in the gut.
That's right.
This has been a founding principle that naturopathic doctors have based their approach to medicine ever since in America for the last 120, 150 years. And now we actually have the science behind Hippocrates' statement.
Right.
We know that the microbiome is the foundation of our brain, our immune system, and how we operate.
Right. And that, it's only recently that science has really embraced this idea, though.
Sure.
Right? I remember the days when scientists would just poo-poo this whole idea. And
excuse
say,
the pun.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Isn't that cute? All disease begins in the gut.
Right.
There's no data to support that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Even though it's been observed for 2,000 years.
Yep.
But now we have the data, and it's changing everything.
Yep. So that's what we're looking at, and why it's so important for every parent to understand, you know, just the platform that a child is growing from. So another one I always like to put it in perspective is, you know, the human body is made up of 30 trillion human cells. And then the microbiome is made up of 38 trillion bacteria.
Right.
So we're outnumbered.
We're outnumbered.
And
we're more bacterial than we are human, right?
Exactly.
Weird.
And if they're not the right species and in the right balance and in the right proportion, then we're really outnumbered.
Right.
We're surrounded. And we have something that either works with us or doesn't work with us.
Right.
So symbiosis, dysbiosis, health or disease.
Right.
Those two things. So we'll look later, you know, what are the main nutrients, what supplements really, really sort of play a part in creating and maintaining a healthy microbiome. But for now, we'd love to hear where you started from, how you became so enamored with this subject and your expertise.
Yeah, well, the last 10 years, 20 years have really been about the microbiome, you know. And people ask me sometimes, you know, why are we just hearing about this now? If this collection of bacteria in our gut and the signals that they send across the gut-brain axis, which we'll talk about as we go through, if that's so important, why are we just hearing about it now? Yeah. And I try to explain to people that we couldn't measure many of these bacteria. You know, so many of them are you know, they're anaerobic bacteria. They die in oxygen. So you can't culture them out in a laboratory. The only reason we know about them now is because we can measure them genetically. We can measure the DNA. And it used to be, you know, to measure someone's microbiome, it would take a week of analysis, and now we can do it in a couple of hours. So it really gives us a lot more information where we measure what's there, we can measure the metabolism of them, we can apply an intervention like changing a diet, for example. And we can see how it changes very rapidly, and then we can see how that changes behavior. So it's opening up so many avenues that we just didn't have a decade ago.
Sure. And so let's go back to the very beginning of a child's life. You know, in utero, the baby's born. What important part does the birth play in the actual foundation and start of the microbiome?
Right. Yeah. So the birth is the seeding, right? That's where the baby gets its microbiome in the first place. Mom delivers the microbiome as the baby passes out of the birth canal.
Yeah.
In fact, so you know, even before the birth canal, whatever mom is doing over those 9 months is really important.
Bingo.
You know, mom is keeping if she's keeping her microbiome healthy, she'll be able to download and deliver a good healthy microbiome to that child.
Yeah.
And if she's not, then she'll be delivering a damaged microbiome to that child. You know, it's interesting that over the course of the 9-month pregnancy, the microbiome changes. It gets less and less diverse, and that's typically a bad thing. You know, if there's one thing that any of us agree who study the microbiome, and this is probably the only thing we agree on, is that more diversity
is better than
less diversity. Right?
Yeah,
there's all sort of nuances, but more diversity is better. So why in the world would the mom's microbiome get less diverse over the course of her 9 months pregnancy? And it's because she's delivering these trillions of bacteria to a blank slate, you know, basically a sterile baby. And so you can't deliver a huge diversity, right? It's just, it's too much because the baby's immune system is underdeveloped.
Yeah.
And the really cool, elegant thing, I literally just got goosebumps as we're thinking about this. The mom delivers this microbiome to the baby. It helps the baby's immune system develop, and the microbiome and the immune system develop in concert with each other. They train each other. They learn each other. The immune system learns the outside world. The microbiome learns the inside world, and they develop in tandem. It's fascinating.
It really is a miracle.
And what happens if there's not a vaginal delivery?
Oh, if there's not a vaginal delivery, then the microbiome that gets delivered vaginally is more diverse than if you have a C-section, for example. Mm-hmm. There's really good data to show that the baby gets a microbiome that is more sort of skin microbiome if it's a C-section versus a vaginal delivery. And that microbiome, the skin microbiome, is more, I guess you could say, is more of like an inflammatory microbiome. Mm-hmm. And down the line, after a year, after 2 years, after 3 years, those children are much more likely to gain weight. So it's associated with obesity and diabetes. They're much more likely to have allergies. They're much more likely to have food intolerances, all because of what microbiome they were initially seeded with. It's absolutely fascinating.
Yep. And the science is very clear on that these days.
The science is very reproduced. You know, when the first few studies came out, it was interesting, you know, and then it was repeated and repeated, and now it's pretty well accepted.
Yeah.
So C-section, that's one thing that we understand may cause a challenge for the child to have that appropriate seeding, as you were describing, but also breastfeeding, right? I mean, if you're – and look, we're not blaming. This is no finger pointing that's going on here. But if you're delivering by C-section and or not breastfeeding, we've got problems, don't we?
Sure. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, being – handicapped a little bit from the start.
Right.
Right. It's like you have to make up for the challenge.
Right.
Rather than just coming out with a full established microbiome that can then grow and flourish.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And Bryce, I'm glad you brought that point up. It's like, you know, we're not saying like, oh, you know, you were born C-section, that's a bad thing.
Right.
You were formula fed, that's a bad thing. Parents need to know that those steps are going to lead to a certain kind of microbiome, but that microbiome can be fixed.
Well, that's the point.
The good news is that it's actionable.
The good news is it's actionable. Something else I think that we should bring up in the establishment or the lack thereof in certain challenges beyond even C-section and breastfeeding, and yes, that is the good news, is it's totally recoverable, is – often women are checked for hepatitis B and hep B carrier status. And when that's positive, they're given a load, sometimes, especially if they're being delivering vaginally, of intravenous antibiotics. Mm-hmm. What do antibiotics do to the microbiome, Doc?
It's like throwing napalm on a garden. I mean, it completely decimates the microbiome. Mm-hmm. And you know, Dr. Murray is probably better expert at this than I am, but an amount of antibiotic rounds that children get these days, you know, it's about one a year, you know, for the first 10 years of life, right? Mm-hmm. And that is also damaging the microbiome. So, you know, you think about, you know, vaginal versus C-section delivery, that's one potential insult. Formula fed versus breastfeeding, that's another potential insult. Mm-hmm. All these rounds of antibiotic therapy, that's maybe multiple rounds of insult. Let's go back to breastfeeding for a second. Think about what breast milk is. 30% of breast milk, about a third of that nutrition, the baby can't even digest. Mm-hmm. It's like the mom makes these things called human milk oligosaccharides, right. HMOs, that the baby can't even digest, can't even use as fuel. It's purely for the bacteria in the gut.
They love them.
It grows the bacteria. It helps the bacteria train the train the immune system. Yeah. It's just the beauty of nature right there. Yeah. You know.
Well, and again, in your clinical practice, this is the observation you made over years. I know this to be the case, and because that initial feed, the colostrum, the complexity of the breast milk, some others have a challenge with. And again, no blame game here.
Yeah.
But in some instances, a supplement is necessary.
Yeah, I mean, if we really just break it down, so we've got prebiotics, we've got probiotics, and postbiotics, right? The prebiotics are that base, the foundation that allows the probiotics to grow and thrive.
Right.
So if we don't have all three of those platforms, then something's going to be missing.
Right.
So you look at the role that the colostrum plays, you know, in the first 2 or 3 days before the breast milk actually comes in. Again, it's laying down those prebiotics,
right,
that foundation, that culture.
Right.
Then the probiotics that can be introduced and are going to grow. It's
right.
It's like they have a good playing field.
Right, exactly.
And, and then some of those probiotics turn into postbiotics, and they have their own mission as well.
Right, exactly.
So when something is missing, you know, either in the birth or the breastfeeding, then that's when we can start thinking about, you know, adding colostrum, adding probiotics, adding the prebiotics
right.
into the formula or anything else just to make up for
right.
what's not there.
Right, exactly. And I think that's important for parents to know is that there's uh-huh. plenty of things that you can do.